Hello, everybody. I'm Dell Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Dell and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay.
Oh, that was. I felt like I was really straight today, and you were real gay.
I was like letting the air out a little bit, you know, like a sad little whoopee cushion. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this wacky Tuesday show.
Yes, we are crazy. Emerson and I are crazy producing this live event on the 31st. This is my backdrop for it, y'all. I'm not changing it. I'm just leaving it up until the 31st. If y'all can see, it's got Dr. Eve's bra, Latrell's pearls. Those are a pair of shoes that Leslie Jordan wore and signed. And Emerson, this just, it just segues so well into this auction that we're going to have, that we're putting all these items up for sale.
That's right.
And there's lots. I did not realize how much shit I had in the garage, but it turned out, I thought it was just a bunch of junk, some of it. And my daughter, Rebecca, and I, she came over, very social distance, y'all. Don't shame me. She's on one side of the room. I'm on the other. We're going through the whole series, finding things. And I mean, Finding Waldo. Is that what it is?
Where's Waldo?
Where's Waldo? Mm-hmm. So like this chicken, we looked through the whole series and could not find this chicken. I said, somebody's going to want that chicken if it's in the show. I went and looked at it again, and there's the chicken right by Sissy's microwave. Someone already offered $200 for this chicken.
We've been thinking about is this sorted live stream, getting all the ducks in a row, all the details together. Full disclosure, to the point where last night we were like, are we going to do a show tomorrow? We said, yes, we'd come and chat with y'all. So we pulled some stories this afternoon. And we have a very special guest, one of our favorites in the entire world, Dale Dickey, will be joining us a little later.
Yes, Dale Dickey and I have worked together. Oh, so Rick LeBlanc got 400. Rick, well, we have to put them up for sale. Last night in my Facebook Live, Rick was already bidding on shit. You know what I found today? I meant to pull it. What? I cannot believe I found this, but Leslie Jordan and I he was sending me all of these, do you say gifts or gifs?
GIF.
A GIF. Okay. So they're all of him, of course. And so I had one where he says, okay. And in it, I see these earrings that were in the series. Emerson, they are the original earrings from the play in 96, from the movie in 2000. And in the series, he wore those rhinestone earrings. I have them. They're going
up as well. Oh, my God. Wait, now, Stuart said, what size are the red shoes?
They're little. They were Leslie's. They're size 8 in a woman's. But look at this.
Leslie 6, Stuart.
Leslie Jordan. He signed them. So we got all these are lug nuts that are signed. We got so much stuff. If we have time, I'll show you more later, but we got a show to do.
And the auction will be live next Monday. So you'll have plenty of time leading up to the broadcast to bid and to scroll through the mountains of Sorted Lives memorabilia that you can choose from. But also, welcome. This is a little looser. We do have stories. We did go ahead and prep. But if you have questions or comments today, we'll do those in between the stories. If you have stuff you want to know about, things you ask, I'll keep an eye. If you're watching on Facebook or Periscope on Twitter or YouTube, we can see your comments. Please share the broadcast across your universe. And, you know, we'll do a little show and hang out.
I'm going to show you something, y'all.
Okay.
Without disconnecting. Bitsy May has decided that she has to lay on all of the costumes that are on up for bid every day.
Claiming them.
Her favorite is Nolita's wedding dress. Oh, someone said, I told you, Emerson, if I started drinking coffee out of this cup, maybe I would sell a few. This is by Trevor Wayne. And I think they're on my website, delshores.com.
We're just buy that merch.
Merchant.
We're sitting at home doing this stuff for free.
That's right. Back to Dale Dickey, because I started to say something about Dale Dickey. Dale Dickey is one, truly one of our national treasures. I love her. as an actress, but I also love her as a human. She is so giving and such a wonderful person. And when I reached out today, because we weren't going to do a show, and I reached out and I said, will you do our show today? I will have worked with Dale Dickey on the 31st when she does Juanita in the live sorted stream. This will be my 18th time to work with Dale Dickey. So I have been with her and on. I've watched this beautiful journey that she's had of success and career. And how many of y'all love Dale Dickey? Come on. So she's going to be on the show in a little bit.
Todd asked what you were drinking out of that cup.
I'm drinking coffee, and I drink it with a straw because my dentist told me a couple of years ago that if I would start drinking coffee and red wine, he said first, you need to eliminate coffee and red wine to save your teeth because they're stained. And I said, that is not humanly possible. I cannot eliminate either one of those things. So he said, then you have to start drinking in a straw. So I ordered these metal straws and off we go.
Now be careful. I told you that story about that lesbian in the UK that fell and hit herself on a metal straw and died.
I am so disturbed by what you just said that I feel like I have some, I'm not getting up and I don't run. I bet she's running. I bet that lesbian was running. I bet
don't be dancing around the house. She impaled herself on a metal straw.
I don't run with scissors either.
So we saved the turtles, but we're killing the lesbian.
Oh my God, Emerson.
All right. You want to tell some news stories?
We're going to get letters now.
I think we know every one of the people here right now personally. And
I'm is that right? They're going to protect us?
At least they know. They expect it.
Okay, let's talk about people. Let's do some gossip. Let's do a little gossipy news. Well, Ellen is just fed up. She is just fed up with being accused of being mean. The queen of nice that I think was dubbed, maybe she dubbed herself that, I'm not sure. I love Ellen, don't get me wrong. She's reportedly sources. I love these stories that say sources. It's like sources. Who are your sources? They say she's at her rope's end. All these multiple allegations that she's just been demeaning to guests, treats her staff poorly. She holds grudges against other comics. 2016, Kathy Griffin went out after her and said that she treated herself and Joan Rivers very badly and has a mean streak. That Hollywood, all of Hollywood knows about. Now that I have to admit, I've heard many, many stories over the years that Ellen is not the most pleasant person. I have heard that. So that's the buzz here in Hollywood. You always hear that Blake Shelton is a nice guy. So I don't know. Is there some fire in these rumors? But here's the deal. Okay, as I'm reading this, one of the hits that she got was this YouTuber that I've never heard of named Nikki DeJager, and she said she was cold and distant while she appeared on her show, and she did not have a private bathroom. Well, first of all, I don't know who the fuck she is. And I feel like she could share a bathroom with other guests. I'm on Ellen's side on this one.
If Ally McBeal could share with men and women, she could share hers with some people.
I feel like that these are just like privilege problems, Nikki DeJager. I'm sorry. I'm not on your side on this one. So that's one for Ellen. So she rebooted her show. And a lot because of, you know, the coronavirus and all these preventative measures, and her staff accused her of hiring non-union contractors to build the set at her house. And I'm pretty sure that's true. So that's one for, you know, the team of the staff. Ellen, you're 1-1 right now with Del Shores. And then her bodyguard stepped forward and said she was also demeaning to him and that Portia De Rossi was the nice partner in the relationship. Well, bodyguard, at least you had one nice person. That's all I'm saying. That's enough. If Ellen's mean or if she's demeaning or whatever, I bet the check cashed. So that's two for on Del Shores for Ellen and not for the bodyguard. So anyway, she says this is just sour grapes from all these haters and it's going to be a passing thing. It will go away. But she is at the end of her rope. She is at the end of her rope. So
Ricky said, Ellen is clearly upset because Mama took down her cockadoodle and she did not see any goddamn bucks.
Well, it could be. I don't know what it is, but here we go. I mean, it's a silly story in a way. Don't you think, Emerson? Or do you think?
I don't actually.
Really?
Okay. I think the environment that you create matters. I think that, you know, the way I feel is I have two things. It took me a while to come around on this story. Because I think, one, we treat women that are powerful differently than we treat men. And so there's a lot of times, is it like, if a man was doing those things, would it be, you know, he's succeeding, but she's a bitch? But this story has repeatedly come up as a common enough thread. And also, I think the first time you hear stuff, people have bad days. You know, somebody says, this person didn't smile for me. They didn't take a photo with me or sign an autograph. I think you don't know what happened in their day before you saw them. But I do think this has now been a pervasive enough story that there's at least something to it. And, you know, if you're not happy, quit doing what you're doing.
Well, I think so. I mean, I agree with you on that. But I think some of these things that were cited were a little bit not that big. You know what?
Yeah, but that's just one story. I mean, these stories have been coming out about Ellen for months. There was a giant Twitter thread with hundreds of people commenting. That's just one piece.
Don't bite my head off, Emerson Collins. Please just take that tone down just a little bit.
Well, that news story isn't the only thing that's happened with Ellen DeGeneres on the internet.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. I do agree with you. And I have been, she meant so much to me when I first came out, because that was around the time that I came out, that she came out publicly. And I gave her a lot of passes. So, Ellen, just be nice. Just be nice. Just start being, I know you're watching. Be nice.
And also, it doesn't take anything away from the incredibly important accomplishments she has made. But I think it is also okay to hold our icons accountable for their current behavior, you know, that it doesn't always get excused for what you've done before. It's like people's issues with RuPaul. Well, RuPaul is also legendary and broke boundaries, but that doesn't mean you can't hold them accountable when they're not meeting the standards we expect of people who employ people, people who work in our industry. You know, we should all keep growing.
I mean, it is true that one of our philosophies as producers that we produce together is that we want to create an environment where everybody from crew to actors always feel nurtured. And we always feel like our product is better if everybody is having a good time. So
exactly.
Right.
All right. I've got two quick little stories. I'm on the international LGBTQ beat today. In Uganda, we've talked a lot about over the years the challenges for our community there and the Kill the Gays bill that Christian organizations were supporting. But on March 29th, 13 gay men, 2 bisexual men, and 4 trans women were arrested in the safe house near the Capitol, and they've been in jail ever since. The house was known as a shelter for LGBTQ people who are homeless or seeking community and for those needing treatment for HIV. So it sounds like it was basically an unofficial LGBTQ center. Well, they were arrested and accused of violating social distancing rules, but a court has ordered they be released and the prosecutors have dropped the charges. It sounds like they were probably targeted for being members of our community all gathered together who probably weren't safe at their homes, and the social distancing was used to sort of come for them, but they're all out now. So that's good.
All right.
And then in Poland, this is sort of interesting. Georgette Mosbacher was a big fundraiser for the Republican Party. President Obama appointed her to a diplomatic post, and then Trump appointed her ambassador to Poland. In the past couple of weeks, we've done several stories about the municipalities there that passed resolutions condemning LGBTQ ideology, and about 1/3 of the nation operates so-called LGBT free zones. Well, Ambassador Mosbacher took part in a short video declaring support for LGBTQ plus rights with 5 other Polish ambassadors holding up a sign reading equality for all. So I felt like that was a big, great step from her as a conservative American representing America in Poland for LGBTQ people there. So like a win.
Absolutely. Yay. All right. This next story I just love so much. There is this 66-year-old woman. I'm probably going to crack up during this story. It makes me laugh so much. In Nebraska, she has filed a lawsuit against all homosexuals. We are all being sued. Anybody that is watching that is a homosexual, you are being sued by Sylvia Ann Driscoll. And now this lawsuit started in 2015, and it was handwritten. She wrote the whole thing out in cursive, asking a federal judge to why did that make you laugh?
That she wrote it out in cursive is hilarious to me. I don't know why.
Because they've stopped teaching cursive, and it really upsets me. But that's a whole. I'm going to get sidetracked. She asked a federal judge to once and for all decide whether or not homosexuality is an abomination. And here are some of the details of the case that are just now coming out on social media. The lawsuit was filed by Sylvia Ann Driscoll, and she has self-described herself ambassador for plaintiff's God and his son, Jesus Christ.
Wow, now, that's a little uppity.
I know, and the Holy Spirit got left out.
I don't know if they can be parties to a lawsuit if they're not willing to show up in the courtroom.
Well, she was the ambassador for them.
Also, they do say where two or more are gathered. So I guess if she gets a friend.
You know she's got at least one. She's got, you know, Jerry Falwell Jr. or somebody on her side. So anyway, so all she has basically here I lost my place. I got sidetracked. Okay, 7 pages of handwritten complaint against homosexuals. She said, homosexuals, they're given name, homosexuals. Uh-huh. Now, this is, she misspelled alias. She said that they're Alice Gay. And then the complaint filed by Driscoll versus homosexuals did not appear to have been written by a professional lawyer. That made me laugh. So I thought, no shit. So it's hard to determine what law Driscoll was accusing homosexuals of violating or even how she earned the title Ambassador for God and Jesus Christ. But what
I believe natural law is what they usually reference, violating natural law.
Natural law. So what was clear to her is that homosexuals are sinners. But gay people argue that they are not. So she wants this judge to make a decision about this once and for all. Are gay people sinners or not? Judge Girard, you have a question, sir?
No, I'm ready. Go. Okay. Finish.
Okay. So she asked Judge Girard to stand up to homosexuality and declare it an abomination. It is unclear who exactly Driscoll believed would represent the defendants, or if she assumed that every single homosexual would have to appear in court. It appears that the court couldn't figure it out either. They simply noted no summons issued.
First of all, I have like 17 points. First of all, I'm available. I have nothing to do. Show up to represent homosexuality as the defendant. Second of all, I believe the question has already been answered according to her Bible. Everyone is a sinner, so homosexuals are sinners. Homosexuals are part of everybody. Why didn't he just say, yes, they are, verdict, the end? I mean, is she suing for dollars? Like, what does she want to get paid in rainbows and glitter? Like, she wants that rainbow back. You know, that's what she wants. She said, I want you to declare all homosexual sinners, and I want a judgment that we get the rainbow back.
But she wasn't asking for money. And I just wonder how much it costs to file a lawsuit like that against all of us.
Todd, will a notary public do? I want a big ass lawyer. I want somebody fancy. Like, I want Annalise Keating. I want Viola Davis to show up as my attorney. Or Alan McCreal.
I want Gloria Allred. That's who I want.
That Lisa Bloom. I love that. I love that so much. I want her to sue me personally. I want to go to court on this.
Well, listen.
I want to testify.
I tell you what, Emerson, I'm going to try to find her on social media, and I'm going to tell her that you're willing to go to court against her, Sylvia Ann Driscoll.
Please do. Also, if y'all are enjoying the show, you can send us a tip. We do this for free for your entertainment and enjoyment, but also we are out of work, non-essential workers. So you can send us $1 or $5 or $10 or thousands if you're just sitting on a money pile. You can Venmo. It's in the banner at the bottom. Me at Emerson Collins, or send us on PayPal at beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com.
And we appreciate it. Have. I looked and there were a couple of hundreds, which was really sweet, y'all. So thank you.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not gonna
but y'all, every amount, we are grateful for every little bit.
That's right. Everything. It takes a takes a village to tip Robin Emerson.
Two more quick around the world stories. In Albania became the third European nation to ban conversion therapy. Only the third. Their organization of psychologists said that they will penalize any of its members for violating the ban. So I love that it's the psychologists saying, no, that's some bullshit. And then in Hungary, right's going back the other directions. Until recently, Hungarians had been legally free to change their gender with the government at their willingness to align their gender paperwork. But now, using emergency powers, the Hungarian parliament has passed a restrictive law that recognizes only sex assigned at birth in official documents. Now, this is at odds with what the Hungarian people actually think. A September survey showed only 17% supported this new article, and 7 out of 10 Hungarians believe trans people should be legally recognized. So it's a bigoted conservative government using the excessive powers they have during this emergency time because of the pandemic to come for trans people. Some bullshit.
Yeah. And I'm glad we started off with some funny, because it does, some of these stories do get a little dark. And I was so disturbed by this story. It's Kansas City, Missouri. You know, that's a town that I've worked in, and it is a very conservative town. That's the first place that I worked with Leslie Jordan was Kansas City, Missouri. But two Kansas City police officers have been indicted in connection with the use of excessive force during an arrest outside a beauty supply store on May 24th, 2019. It's almost a year ago. Then a video surfaced. This is you can't get away with shit, y'all. Cops, nobody. You cannot get away because someone is videotaping. And in a Jackson County grand jury returned indictments for both officers after a review this month, because this video surfaced. And prosecutor Dean Peters Baker said Matthew G. Brummett, 37, and Charles Pritchard, 47, each faced a misdemeanor. This is what's so disturbing to me about this story. Fourth degree assault for recklessly causing physical pain to Brian Hill, also known as Brianna or Bria Hill, by slamming her face against the concrete sidewalk, kneeing her in the face, torso, ribs, and forcing her arms over her head while cuffed. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you, that you can see this video at LGBTQNation.com, and it is so disturbing. It is so violent what they do to this poor woman. And what's really sad is that in October she was murdered, shot to death on Hardesty Avenue, and a defendant has been charged in connection with that. But the officers released a statement saying that they were aware of the misdemeanor charges, but that when you see this video, you'll see how full of shit they are. They said that she was forcing herself down, hitting her own head. Now, she is screaming the entire time, oh God, please stop, please stop. And then after they do that, and the video shows blood on the concrete, they then one of them takes her hands as the other one stands there just watching, and puts, as she's cuffed behind, and just pulls them up where she is just screaming and writhing with pain. So misdemeanor, it is insane that, you know, and the police chief Rick Smith released a statement supporting the officers. They are on like whatever that duty is where they're not on the, you know, what's that called?
Desk duty.
Yeah, desk duty. But they haven't been fired. Okay,
Chihuahua. It's so frustrating, these stories, because it's, you know, we see so many of this kind of story where it takes a video to counter the story of this kind of terrible officer. And then we also have these video, like, I can't watch these videos anymore. I hate that we have to share them for the story to even happen, because it also becomes this weird kind of torture porn. You know, where you see like videos of Black people being shot or trans people being bitten, you know, that sort of re-victimizes those people and the communities they come from that are dealing with this kind of bigotry from law enforcement that they shouldn't be forced to face. So, there's so many levels of this being bad that it takes the video to make it accountable. And then we have to stare at these videos that are so horrible. But at least it's now being followed up on, which is great.
Yeah, and here's the deal. I mean, you know, they can say whatever they want, but we see. we actually are seeing them and we know the truth. And so whatever, they are exposed, their names are exposed. So that's at least something. I'm sorry I had to go tell my children to stop barking.
And then another exciting, weird accomplishment. The U.S. Navy has granted a waiver to allow a trans service member to serve in their preferred gender. It's the first such waiver approved since the Trump military ban went into effect. Now, the officer wasn't named, but what's interesting about this is maybe this is the sort of tiptoeing because now other trans service members who want to serve could possibly use this waiver in another lawsuit to help destroy the military ban. It's sort of a chink in the armor, which is great.
Okay, and also another, you know, just stupid people news. It's the Pulse Memorial was vandalized, a memorial to the victims of Pulse Nightclub. The mass shooting was vandalized by white supremacists. The mural is located right outside of the organization, the LGBT organization, the Center, which I've visited. I've visited there when I was on tour down there on one of my stand-up tours. And the hate group called the Patriot Font appears to be responsible. And what they did is they just put all these repulsive stickers all over it. It was reported on Reddit and by Pauly Bleeker, who said, I was eating tacos next door at the Center and wanted a photo of the mural. I took a picture, then noticed something was covering the P. They wrote, I walked up, he wrote, I walked up and it was a sticker of a man with a gun and an American flag type background. Under it, it gave a website for the group Patriot Front. I was upset that someone would vandalize the mural, rip it down, and then I threw it away and didn't think to take a photo of the sticker. And then there were more at the bottom of the collage. That's the memorial, which is, you know, sad and lovely all at once. I was very emotional standing there that day Pulse Orlando. So that's coming up. That the anniversary of that is coming up during Pride. So anyway, that's last sad story of the day, I think.
Yes, and now a completely absurd story for your entertainment. Okay, professional cake maker Joe Manganiello's mother asked him what a bussy is, and he just could not bring himself to tell her the truth. You know what that is, right?
I do not.
It's a portmanteau of boy and pussy.
It's boy what? Pussy. It's pussy. Boy pussy.
Bussy.
Oh, I see. Bussy.
So he told her that it just meant boy because he couldn't bring himself to tell her the real meaning, because that's awkward. I certainly couldn't tell that to my mother. And so this is what happened. She started sending him emails that said things like, one little bussy at the Eiffel Tower, two bussies at the Arc de Triomphe, three bussies in Paris. And he was like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, I can't leave my mother out in the world saying bussy all the time, every time she wants to say there's a little boy, like doing something. And so he finally told her, he said, Mom, I have something to tell you. And so the text message exchange went like this. And he said, do you know what bussy means? Bussy means boy pussy. And his mother said, I know. So she was just messing with him the whole time. She said, how about bunt? And I'm not going to say the words that's combining, but I hope you at home figure it out.
I love the mother. So she wasn't as ignorant as he thought.
She knew and she was messing with him. But I don't think I could be with somebody in the middle of like having sexual relations and they said bunt. Like, first of all, even I know that's a sports ball term.
Well, I have to admit that, I mean, there's a lot of things that we learn with, abbreviation, social media, emojis. And I remember when I started first using emojis, we had someone in the family die, and I sent it with those tears that are really laughing.
Yes.
I thought that was sad, because that's the emoji. And so my daughter Caroline said, Dad, you can't do that. You're laughing at someone dying. So
yes. All right. Well, she is waiting in the wings.
She is waiting in the wing. I've introduced her a little bit already, but y'all, I love this woman so much. And years and years ago, I was invited to the Zephyr Theater to see a play called Laura Dennis by Horton Foote. And my friend Cameron Watson was in the play. And he said, Horton Foote is going to be in the audience, and I've gotten you a seat right behind him. And I just went to soak up his presence, because if you don't know Horton Foote's work, he wrote Tender Mercies, he wrote Trip to Bountiful, and he wrote the screenplay for To Kill a Mockingbird. And so I love this playwright. Quickly into the play, this crazy woman flies on right by me. And I went on to direct many plays there with her, but it was Dale Dickey. And I was just fascinated by the brilliance of Dale Dickey. I was like, who the fuck is this? I have to work with this person. I have to work. So a few months later, I was reviving Daddy's Dying Who's Got the Will. I called her in to audition, and that was the last time she auditioned for me. And we have now worked together 17 times and about to work together for the 18th time. So please welcome to the Dale and Emerson Show, my good friend, our good friend, Dale Dickey.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, Dale. Hi, Emerson.
Hi, lady.
Did you know a cat?
That's Trout. He likes to cuddle like a little baby.
Well, I've got one on my lap, and you know she loves you.
That Gracie or?
That's Sissy.
Sissy.
Yes.
I don't have children because I have all of y'all.
That's right. You have to wrangle us. So, Dale, thank you for joining us. And I know it was just like late notice and you said yes like that. And that's why I love you, because you've done so many things with me and we love working with you. And you are about to do Juanita Bartlett in this reading that we're having to support a small theater. And I was trying to count. Help me out. How many characters have you played in The Sordid World?
I think in The Sordid World, I've played four characters in a bunch of different productions. First, I understudied Lavanda way back in like 96, the original one. And then I played Glendora in the movie in 2000 and the series. And then I played Sissy on stage at the Zephyr in 2006 and on the tour. I took over Sissy because Beth wasn't available, and then now I get to do Juanita.
And then you did Sissy again in A Very Sordid Wedding, and everybody was
forgot. I did.
Yes, I mean let's be honest. I mean, Beth was so well known for that role, and there was a lot of people disappointed. But I always said, not after they saw you. It was just a wonderful, just a brilliant performance. And we had a great time up in Winnipeg.
I love doing that. And, you know, it's really big shoes to fill, obviously, when I did that with Beth Grant. But these are even bigger shoes with Juanita because, well, she's just about as well loved. So it's an honor and pleasure to try to.
She's with us today.
Conley the life, because we miss her and we love her.
That's right. Someone said, don't forget the super glue. That was Glendora.
Glendora in the movie.
Yeah, she had one. You know, Dale, I don't know if you know this. I think I've told you this. You had one line. You were in jail with Lavanda, Juanita, and Nolita.
That's right.
And I remember the last time I took a puff of a cigarette was in that jail with you, because I had already quit smoking. But I was trying to get you to take a drag at a certain place because I thought there was going to be a laugh. And so I thought she takes a drag during the laugh and then blows out and go, hey, press charges. I took your cigarette and it tasted so bad. So that was my last.
Gave me my brilliant comic timing, we hope, for that.
Not that you ever need any help with your comic timing.
Oh, I do. Sometimes.
And y'all, as we chat along, whether you're watching on Facebook or YouTube or Periscope, if you have questions from the incredibly wide depth of Dale's career, type them in and I'll ask them, because from killing that man with that ATM machine to Patty the Daytime Hooker to Claws to Unbelievable, whatever. Well, if you want to know something about something, this is your chance. Jason said she was fabulous at Clarence Brown Theater. Don't forget that.
Okay. Oh,
that's right. I love theater. That's my home. I'll always love theater.
Well, you were one of the first people that I contacted when we had this brainstorm. I remember we did, Dale and I lived very close to each other. And we were getting lonely for each other. We were getting lonesome for each other. So we decided that we were going to have a social distance parking lot encounter. And Dale set up, she cleaned all the furniture, and we had our mask on, and we sat across. And I said, this is what I'm thinking. And she said, I'm in. And then, and one of the reasons is because you really do go back to the theater. You don't just do film and TV. You go back and as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I came from theater. That's what I wanted to do. That's why I moved to New York. I started doing theater as a little girl when I was about 9 in Knoxville, the university. And I also did a lot of community theater there. One of the theaters that were going to be supporting during this Sorted Lives thing is Theater Knoxville, which I believe years ago, like in the late 70s, was the original Knoxville Community Theater, which I did many plays with. And Bonnie Baker, who runs that, I've known. We were in Sound of Music. She was in Sound of Music when I was 9. Good Lord. Wow.
Was she Baker back then, and now she's Pendleton? Because she's...
Yeah, I'm sorry, Bonnie Baker Pendleton, yes.
Okay.
It's been a long time. But I continued to do theater, and I moved to New York, and I did theater, and, you know, it was... When I moved to LA and made the transition, I lived for theater. Dale, you saved my life because, I mean, there's a lot of black box waiver theater, but you kept me on my toes for a long time, and I'm really grateful. It kept me busy, and I love doing theater. It's something that will never ever go away. Ancient storytelling, you know.
You're brilliant. I mean, I think I told you this, but you just did This Side of Crazy that Emerson produced, and we had such a good run with those four ladies, including you. And but my daughter Caroline Shores came down from San Francisco to see it, and I said your best review was when you ran. There's a scene where she runs up the stairs, and it is just crazy fight, and then there's this gasping moment, and then the lights go down, and Caroline Shores grabbed my knee, and she said, "Dale fucking Dickey."
I got a little intense, yes, but you know, I just point in case, I tried to do a play every year since I was a little girl, and there was like maybe 2 years around 2010 and 11 where I didn't get to do a play. And then there'd been another run of 2 years. So it was great to be back on stage. I hadn't done a play in 2.5 years. So, you know, keep bringing me back in.
Well,
it's such a different muscle to flex, you know, and I felt the same way. I realized recently, I was like, oh, it had been a long time. So I did a play in January while we were doing This Side of Crazy. And it was like, it's been a minute since I've done this. And of all the kinds of performing we get to do selfishly, the most visceral, the most connected experience is theater, and that the energy of the live moment with the other actors in the audience, there's nothing like it.
Absolutely, particularly in the smaller, you know, black box, small theaters where it's so intimate. And, you know, theater, the energy in theater, you got to commit fully. And it's like an athlete performance, you know, to 2 or 3 hours where you keep the stamina, and it's different every night, depending on the audience. And I just love it. I love film and television too, but there's nothing as exhilarating and rewarding as theater, I think.
Well, go ahead, Emerson.
Stuart asked, did you enjoy doing True Blood?
Well, yeah. Particularly working with all those beautiful people, Joe Magnello.
I was about to say, I would not have been able to get lines out.
It was difficult. But, you know, I was the granny werewolf, and he had all his little hot weird chicks around him. But everybody was so nice on that show. Everybody, and beautiful people, and it was a real
glammed you up in that show. I loved how you looked in that show.
Straightened my hair. They sort of wanted a tough biker kind of look, so yeah. But I tell you what, they would stuff me in these jeans that were two sizes too small. just wear my Spanx and suck my gut in. Those days are gone.
My favorite Del and Dale like ever. She is trash that will not burn. Oh, she was described as Raylene when she played Raylene Hobbs in Trials and Tribulations of a Trailer Trash Housewife, later the Blues for Willardine, the movie. Octavia Spencer's character, Lasagna, said she is trash that will not burn.
Is trash that will not burn.
Okay, favorite. Let's do a little thing. Emerson, think of some questions I want to ask you. Favorite role you've ever done, and you it cannot it can be out of my work. I'm not just you know
it's got to be the when I had the chance to do Blanche in Streetcar Named Desire. It wasn't a fun role to do every night. It was fucking exhausting. But what an opportunity. I never thought I'd had that. It was a gloriously difficult and rewarding time. So yeah, Streetcar Named Desire.
Okay.
Yes, okay. Tennessee. My like one that I desperately want to do is Tennessee as well. I desperately want to do the Glass Menagerie before I'm too old.
Oh, and you had such a good reading. Remember the Dale and Emerson who else was that? Oh, Luke McClure. Lanier.
Well, maybe we'll get a production of it, you know?
I'm trying. Janice said she was in a play with you in junior high in Knoxville.
Hi, Janice. She used to come to my slumber parties, which were always just kind of a riot chaos because my big sister's friends would be there and torment us. Hey, Janice.
It's like, I'm so glad that you actually knew her. That sometimes people say, oh, I did this. And we go, who? Whoa, you know. Well,
Chris and I were like in elementary school, I think. We knew each other as little girls.
What do you have in the pipes for after the pandemic? Did you have stuff already done? Jonathan asked.
I just did some sound work this morning on a show that's going to be on Amazon called Them Covenant. They still have one or two more episodes to finish their season, so they're just trying to do some ADR work on it now, but it's going to be a terrifically, wonderfully dark series coming out this fall on Amazon. A guy named Little Marvin created it and directed it. I also did a film with Sean Penn called Flag Day, which his daughter Dylan is the star of, and we're hoping to get some sound work done on that, and that'll hopefully be finished up. And then I also did a new pilot. Whether it will get picked up or not, we don't know. Just hurry up and wait. And if work comes back around, I'll be thrilled. If not, we'll just pull up the bootstraps and go looking for it again.
Well, and do something.
And I know you had another pilot as well that sort of is sitting there right now. So you had so much going on.
A shitload of work, and it's always up and down. And I've been really blessed to have a lot of work, but things have been a little slow, except for Unbelievable, the past year. So I was really looking forward to it. But everybody's in the same boat. Everybody.
Weren't you on a set that you were about to shoot?
There's a show called Claws on TNT. And this is not going to be a whatever the word is, spoiler. But, I had a wonderful role in the first season. And then somebody had to pay for Uncle Daddy's bad deeds. And that
true.
So I was dead, and they were bringing me back for the final season to do three episodes as dead Wanda in my white Chanel dress with blood everywhere. I showed up on set on Friday the 13th of March, and within an hour, they came in and said, I'm sorry, we're shutting down. All the production studios in New Orleans were shutting down just in time. And I flew back to L.A. and have been, isolated kind of in his apartment.
I want to say about Claws. Now, I love that show. I've watched every single episode.
Crazy good.
It's so smart, so farcically funny, and yet rooted in truth while it's so big and aggressively queer, like surprisingly queer. I feel like that aspect wasn't talked enough about. These interesting sexual relationships and dynamics. The diversity was so natural and authentic. I just felt like it was so smart and so big.
Yeah, it really was. It was a very, very unique, crazy, terrific show. And I'm afraid, unfortunately, and I don't know, but I think they were halfway through what would be their final season. I think we were on episode 5, and I'm not sure it's going to come back at all. And I don't know if they'll show those first 5 episodes for the final season or not, but it's a real shame. What a wonderful group. And I wish, you know, maybe they could finish it out some way, but I'm gone.
She said she did. Danielle Paris did say Patty the Daytime Hooker may be my favorite.
Absolutely.
And Dale, Cameron Watson is in the chat room and he says, hi, Skillet, which is a role that you did for him.
That's Skillet's tongue. Would you like a piece of pie?
Remind me the name of that movie. It was
Very Own.
Our very, yes. And Allison Janney. There he is. Now, Cameron is the reason I know you.
It is, Cameron.
Thank you for the gift of Dale Dickey, Cameron Watson. Someone actually wrote me here. Chris Strickland said, Del Shore, marry me, cast me, and other things. Chris, that didn't work out for me. That did not work out for me to marry someone and then cast them. So I don't know. I just don't know.
But also, Chris, what are these other things?
What other? And you know, it sounds like something Dale Dickey would say. What about, you know, other things?
Is that a bussy reference?
That's interesting. Interesting other things.
Yeah.
For those who asked, Claus was on TNT, but I think you can see the seasons on Hulu.
Yeah. It's Niecy Nash, Carrie Preston. I can't think of anybody's names. But.
You know, Carrie Preston always reminds me of you.
Oh, really?
Not in the sense that like you're similar characters or anything, but the approach she takes to work, like what she does with characters that's not on the page, always reminds me of what I feel like when I watch your work. She lives not far from me and I see her all the time and I'm always like, but you know, it's like she takes a character and then she adds all of this character to what's written.
Yeah, she really gets to showcase her myriad of talents on Claus. They give her a great storyline, and she's pretty brilliant. So that, thank you. That's a big compliment coming.
Well, what Dale does that I when I teach acting, I always tell actors scratch deeper, scratch deeper. I've never had to tell Dale Dickey that because she scratches as deep as you can into the fabric of the character. And you do. I mean, the things that you, Emerson's right, the things that you come up with, it's like for a writer, it's just it's such a gift that you embody these. I mean, Rob Dietrich is saying, hi, Dale, you were amazing in Southern Baptist Sissies and Emerson and Dale, great writing. But that your portrayal of Odette Annette Barnett in that last monologue, I mean, who goes that far? And I just remember how it's so hard for you to even drop out of it. After you would leave the stage every night and just collapse backstage.
It is. And when you're talking about that kind of energy for live theater, I mean, we're there to serve as an instrument to tell the story, to tell your story. And that's my job, and to keep mining and finding the truth in that. And you, in order for it to be real, it needs to be real every night. And it is tough. I found that with this side of crazy, I hadn't had to do that in a couple of years, except briefly on camera here. And, you know, it's a whole different discipline. But to carry that through line for almost 3 hours, 2.5 hours, you know, there were, after a while, I was like, oh, this is really hard emotionally to do this. But it's worth it. It's, of course, it's worth it working with those brilliant actresses and telling your stories. They're important. And, you know, I've let it go now.
Now,
I think what happens with a lot of actors that they're scared to grab their own lives and bring them into characters because whatever was painful for them during life, they're scared to revisit that. And I've always admired that you're not afraid to grab whatever you need.
I don't know what's wrong with me in that aspect, but I just revisit.
Tam DeBolt, who's one of the artistic directors at one of the theaters we're benefiting with the Sorted live stream, said live theater is better because it met Dale Dickey. Truth.
Oh.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Someone asked a question and I was talking, Emerson. I'm sorry.
Oh, somebody asked and I wanted to talk about it because I think people don't always know this. Somebody asked if you enjoy doing Sweeney Todd as well. And I love getting to talk about that you also do musicals in your ability to do literally everything.
That's interesting. You know, when I think about favorite roles, maybe it's because they both been back at my alma mater, but Sweeney is really close to Blanche. I used to love musical theater. When I was in college, I sang quite a bit. I did Sweeney in college, and then they brought me back, 30 years later to actually do age-appropriate Mrs. Lovett. And I loved singing and dancing. That was never going to be my strength. And so I was, you know, focused on acting, but there's such a freedom in singing and a beauty that I miss. And so I would like to do more musicals, you know, down the line if my voice doesn't go too much deeper. But yeah, can't beat Sondheim.
I know, Sweeney's on my someday list too.
Oh, wait, what you rush, what you hurry? You gave me something, but I thought you was a ghost. Have a minute, get to sit you down, sit. All I mean is I haven't seen a customer for weeks. Did you come in for a pie? Do forgive me, man. All right. What was that?
If they come for us for royalties on that song, I'm calling.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sondheim.
Sondheim's 90. He's not worried about our live stream radio show.
I think he's got enough money. I think he's fine.
If he's worried about this, he's got problems.
He got the whole world doing live stream songs for him. He's fine.
There you go.
We're all so silent for a second. We never run out of things to talk about. I know what I wanted to talk to you about, because someone wrote something about Wish Blues was on Vudu. I do too. We're trying to figure out how to get the news for Willie Bean back out in the public. But I wanted to ask you, what role do you get most recognized for? Because I was with you a couple of times when you were recognized on the street or in a shoe store. That was my favorite time you were recognized, which we have time, maybe we'll tell that story together. But what role do you get? Do people stop you and say, this is the role?
It started with Patty the Daytime Hooker. And I used to get that a lot. Then I did that episode of Breaking Bad where I play the skank. And now, unfortunately, that's what everybody recognizes me from. Even without my lesion makeup, it's the hair and the chin. And it was just such a horrendous storyline. But yeah, the skank and True Blood. People that were big fans of True Blood, I think that was the most exposure I got. That was such a huge show. And yeah, Dale and I were in that shoe store and that guy just went off. You're in that Sookie show. You're the wolf. Do you get your baby back?
He just went crazy. And what was really so funny about that is Dale had forgotten her shoes. We had a premiere of Blues for Willie Dean. And so we had to go buy shoes. And this African-American, larger gay guy. I'm assuming he was gay. He designed his own clothes, he told us. But we had this beautiful conversation with him before he recognized you. And the moment of realization was just like a blood-curdling scream as he has your foot in his hand. It's like, oh my God, you're the mama werewolf.
Yeah, I think the whole mall could hear him screaming.
Oh, it was so
as great. They should. You deserve recognition and gigs and awards and lots of money.
And you have a few awards. You won the Spirit Award for Winter's Bone. Did you find that was the role that when after Winter's Bone and you won the Spirit Award, did that beget a lot more roles for you?
Yes, I think so. It was certainly, I'd done some really small roles and some, you know, good films with bigger directors, but they never, you know, like The Pledge and Domino and Changeling, but never a role like that in such a movie that was seen by so many people. I was so lucky to get that part. And that's another one of my favorite roles, a terrific film. Why did you ask me that?
I just ask you, did it was it a life-changing role for you?
It was. I think I knew when I had just gotten with a new agent. All my agents kept retiring or dying. And I finally was able to wrangle one right after the writer's strike around 2008. And that's when I got Breaking Bad. And then it was like the next year I had the audition for Winter's Bone. And these were casting directors I'd never met. So this new agent had was getting me out on a whole different level. And yeah, once I went to Sundance with it, and people at Sundance recognized me from Breaking Bad. But yeah, that was life-changing. And a lot of people didn't know I was an actor, though. They thought I was just a local, which is a great compliment, a local that they use from Missouri. And so when people out here would meet me and I'd maybe have makeup on and my hair done, they would like do a double take, like, well, what? You know, so, but I still, John Hawks and I were so dressed up for this one big event. It was one of the award shows. We were leaving the award show. I was in my gown. John was in his tux. We were going to the after party and we feel so glamorous. And we're walking down the street and all the limo drivers are standing there smoking, waiting for people. And this one limo driver goes, oh, y'all are those rednecks from that Bone movie. You know, and John's in a tux and I'm in a gown. Yeah. Like, y'all are those rednecks from that Bone movie. So you can't take the mountain out of me, I guess.
That's amazing. Robert also said, and Barbara Streisand's waitress at that topless club. You've done it all.
Hey, Emerson, can you put up the hello from Mary Helen Porter?
You can, if you just click on the comment, you can pop it up.
Oh, I don't think I have the ability to do that.
Did you finish, Barbara? Do you have something about Barbara?
It says, Bearden High, Mrs. Long's drama class, and all of Knoxville says hello.
Oh.
From Mary Helen Porter.
I'm remembering Miss Long's drama class, Dean Long. Bless her heart. Yeah, I was a drama freak. I was a little weirdo. Hey, Mary Helen. But back to Barbara, that was like, I'm working with who? What? What an honor. She's so beautiful and she was so lovely to me on set. Just real class act. Right? What a thrill. What a thrill.
Well, you've worked with a lot of big stars, so that
I've been lucky and I've worked there all I've had great experiences with them. Not a bad seat in the bunch so far.
I love that.
Well, we've loved having you here. We love you in our lives always. And thank you for stopping in and taking
us.
You've thrilled a lot of people today.
Yeah, I went literally in Knoxville, Tennessee, where I grew up. You went to grade school and junior high and high school with a lot of the same kids. So, it's fun to see people as we get older and move on. We just all a little more, I'm a lot more wrinkled. And the gray hair, but
you look good. I see one that you recommended to me. Carol Goen says, best email she ever got. Dale asking if anyone had a chainsaw she could borrow to practice with. I think you might have had one. Did I had one? I don't think I had one.
Put out an email and somebody came back and no, I think your email was like, why would I have one of those?
I mean, really, I am not the right, I barely have a hammer.
But Steve and I go camping a lot up in the mountains and there was this old logger that we'd met that ran a motel and I knew he was a logger. I called him and Dan said, I'm working down in your area. Come over tomorrow. I'll give you a chainsaw lesson.
There you go.
That's the kind of actress you are.
Special skills.
Chainsaw.
Hi, Mom. My kitties.
And Erica Kopich said that she loved the line, I'm so sorry I fucked your husband.
I'm so sorry.
A classic.
We made t-shirts out of that.
You have given me some wonderful lines, and I still repeat, I'm sorry, but fuck me running.
Works so often these days.
And I love the follow-up to that line when Octavia Spencer said, I'm sure somebody has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, Dale. We will see you on the 31st for
the Sorted live stream.
Thanks, everybody, for supporting us and hope to see you soon.
Yes, we will raise lots of money for some theaters nationwide.
It's going to be big fun. Stop it, cats. My cats are fighting. Okay.
All right. Bye, friend.
See you soon.
Bye. Okay, you guys. Bye.
She's such a delight. Well, if you are enjoying the show, we do this for your entertainment. If you are at home and need a break, we hope this helped a little bit. If you're somebody that's sitting at home with some money, you can tip us on Venmo at Emerson Collins or to PayPal, beardcollinsshoresproductions@gmail.com. No obligation, but it's all appreciated as our non-essential worker lives income streams have cratered.
We have to do this to entertain ourselves. I love doing this. I feel like sometimes, like today, just felt like we were just like sitting at a table having a great conversation. All we needed was, you know, a glass of wine and maybe a cheese plate.
Yeah. Oh, some guacamole, a little something we'll get back to. Jason asked, are we having a show on Friday? Yes. We'll be back on Friday. We'll have more stuff to share about the Sorted live stream. Also, if you're planning to tune into the live stream, right now you can already go on YouTube and get the reminder. The Facebook link for that will be available next Monday. And all donations from now through the live stream and 4 days after it will go to the benefit. So you can donate early so you don't have to remember to do it later. DelShoresFoundation.org will get you there.
Yes, please. We've had many donors already, and this is going to be a wonderful thing for so many theaters, and the moon is our goal. We have set a goal of $200,000 to split, and I hope we go more than that. I want these auctions to sell.
Yeah, I'll tell you my real goal. Y'all can know because you're our regulars. If we make $230,000, we would be able to give 10 grand to each of the 23 theaters. So that's my big reach goal. If you know people with big money, now we're not asking anybody to give beyond their personal means. Don't give what you can give and anything. But you know, as we continue to spread the word of this, we can find those people sitting on bigger piles of money, and every dollar counts.
Yeah, and if you know anybody, we're going to seek out tomorrow. I'm going to seek out some corporate sponsors. So if you know anybody, or if you are a part of a company. We are going, there's Sorted Lives, the play is divided into four chapters. So we would like each chapter to be sponsored by so-and-so. So that would be a wonderful thing to get some corporate sponsors. And this chicken, we at least got 400 for this chicken.
We'll laugh if that chicken goes as the highest dollar thing.
And what about this? What about this jacket that Nolita Nethercott was arrested in the very in Sorted series?
Now that's more of the kind of jacket you'd usually say you couldn't get arrested in, but she did.
She did get arrested, but this is a big one. Bitsy, get off of these costumes, darling. This is a big one, Emerson. Look at this. You recognize that, y'all? That's from That was the Brother Boy's robe that he wore in Sorted Wedding. So I've got Brother Boy's curtains from Sorted series. I could go on and on. I have someone asked me if I had any Juanita stuff. I have one skirt that she wore in the series. So anyway.
All right, y'all. That's it for today. We'll see you on Friday.
Bye, y'all.